This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Personal injury of any sort, it's a big deal. And injury attorney David Femininio has dedicated his career to securing justice and maximizing recovery for those who have been injured. David is dedicated to ensuring you get the care you need and get your life back on track. So when you're injured, make one phone call to David Femininio, 855-65-CRASH, or go to that website, getdavidgetpaid.com. Get your life back on track, getdavidgetpaid.com.
3 o'clock, good to have you with us. We got a lot of ground to cover. Odyssey.com Rewind, you missed anything? Just a little Vladdy fun, just to kind of put the flag in the sand. That'll be the war I fight if he becomes available. Yeah, that's a call you make. We also started out with Kohler, getting Kohlered. You can rewind and understand what it is. Glorious weekend for Rico. But I want to get to seismic changes in both college sports because, look, Rico, I'll give you the spiel on what's going on. I think my feelings are already well established. I think the audience will be interested. I know I am. In your reaction, because candidly, you've been a real POS about this. You've called me a boomer. You've knocked my lack of love for the sports, but I think you're actually coming to my side.
Don't forget, I also kicked your dogs.
That's right. That's right. Rico shut the door on an old lady. So listen, the NCAA football expansion, hey, if you want 2,000 words about it, go read Ross Dellinger. I'll give you the cliff notes. It turns out in the document, it's the quiet part out loud that the Big Ten and the SEC run this event. Not in a loose way, it's their event. And if you don't do what we want, we'll go do what we want somewhere else and you'll be homeless. Okay? This is the Cliff Note version. Ross Dellinger said it more professionally. This is going to 14 or 16. Now, first of all, tell me if you've heard this before. 14? What the hell's 14? You go from 4 to 8. Or from 8 to 16, not the 12, not the 14, but whatever.
It's like a 17-game NFL season.
It makes no sense, right?
Yeah.
So, but this is going to happen not 2025, not this year, next year. This is a 2026, we know this format's ass, thing. But here's where it gets really goofy. The Big Ten and the SEC guarantee each other, not limited to, but minimally guarantee each other 4 spots each. So 8 out of 14, 8 out of 16. The impacts of that on conference races and on championship games, I don't need to go there. So there's your football thing. One moment, because news broke this weekend. March greedness, y'all. We're going to 76 teams? Why? There's already not 68 good teams. Well, here's why. Money, 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 money. We can have games on Tuesday night and Wednesday night. And you go, well, we already do. No, 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 no. What they want to do now is essentially, and David, if you would do this, because I know Rico's about to go on a filibuster like Mitch McConnell over here. Can you pull up the active Lunardi bubble? And I want to reference it doing this. What they're trying to do is basically kill the bubble, have them all in, and have a Anchorman-style newscast street fight.
News team? Yeah.
News team assemble. You'll have these games. You'll have 4 games on Tuesday, 4 games on Wednesday. For the right, to go to the real attorney. Why? Money. All right. Do we need it?
You got it, David?
Yeah, I have the first four out, next four out.
So pair that as four games. Here's what it could look like.
VCU, Georgia, SMU, North Carolina, Indiana, Xavier, Kansas State, UC Irvine.
There so basically, you yeah, you would have VCU versus UC Irvine, Georgia, Kansas State, SMU, Xavier, North Carolina versus Indiana.
Now, why would they do it this way versus the way they're doing it now? Well, it's simple. No one's tuning in to Texas Southern versus Jacksonville State. Plus, here's a problem I've always had. Why disrespect those schools? They won their conference tournament. Mm-hmm. Some of these schools end up going 21-11, knowing they had to take six or seven paycheck games where they got launched ass first into a wood chipper. Don't disrespect those kids. They know they're already going to get killed in the first round. Don't make them play an extra game. Take these rat bleep teams mm-hmm. from conferences who are, at this point, going to be 16-12, make them play. Now, this is the last thing I'll say, and then this is Rico has so much. He has a PowerPoint presentation for everybody. I am more willing to accept the March Madness expansion than I am what I'm looking at with the football thing.
Yeah.
And with that, I'll talk to everybody tomorrow.
No, with the March Madness expansion, it does boil down to, I guess, instead of playing games at Dayton, you probably play another set of games in another city. Fine. I can live with that. I don't think you need to expand. I don't think that the tournament is fine on its own. It didn't need to go to 68. At some point, guess what? You just didn't make the tournament. That's all. And that's okay. Do better next year. The problem I have is with the football. I've been one of the biggest proponents of the playoff expansion. I thought it was a great idea. I like the fact that, okay, you do it in Division II, you do it in Division III, let's do it in Division I. Let's go out there and let's see if you can win tournament style. I like the fact that you didn't punish a team for losing a game or two to the right team. You give them an opportunity to come back and right their wrong. Look at Ohio State. They lost to Michigan. But in this format, they had an opportunity to right that wrong, and they are the national champions. But now the Big Ten and the SEC, they
say it.
They just need to separate. They just need to break away because, Mike, yes, this is what you've been talking about. You gave me my flowers with Jackson Kohler. I'm going to give you your flowers
this
with
this.
This
isn't quid pro quo.
No. But I'm going to give you because when I read this, I'm stuck at the airport reading this and kind of how you said you saw my face bouncing around the screen. I'm imagining you sitting down in your man cave, you know, right, with some brandy in a cup.
I do not have brandy. What am I, 90?
Or cognac or whatever.
Again.
I just imagine you saying, I told you so. Greed. This is greed. This is all about greed. Sometimes too much is just too much. The fact that they said, well, you have to guarantee us four spots. So that means that there's only six other spots available. If I'm the Big 12, the ACC, are you nuts? No.
What choice do you have?
You have to either unify or you got to walk away. Because here's the potential problem that you have. This was brought up to me in the conversation, but if the Big Ten and the SEC actually do this and they guarantee spots, Mike, I guess they're going to do like a Big Ten SEC crossover game.
Scheduling, like ACC has with the Notre Dame guys.
So at first I'm thinking, oh, this is kind of cool because if you're a fan, you get your conference games, plus you get a really good out-of-conference games, and you get two bye games. So where you play a directional school. Here's the problem. Mike, if you go 1-2 in your non-conference and lose two or three games in your conference,
hey,
you're sending a four or five lost team to the playoffs. At that point is where I draw the line.
Okay.
Because I can accept two lost teams, but you lost to two teams. Like you lose to LSU and you lose to Alabama. That's no shame there. You played them tough. You're still one of the best teams, and maybe you got to fight your way all the way from the 12th seed. A five-loss team? deserves to be playing in some Fleabag bowl game in Florida.
But remember, if the Big Ten and the SEC control this thing, guys, before you make fun of what Rico's saying, five might be a little egregious, but four for certain. They control this thing. There's no committee.
They're guaranteeing four spots, which means if your final team is a team that has lost three games, and like I said, they lost two non-conference and they lost three in conference, but they're the fourth best team, guess who goes?
And again, before you say you're overreacting, remember, 12-team format, conference championship games this year meant nothing. Clemson, SMU, both got in, meant nothing. Oregon, Penn State, meant nothing. Like, guys.
Oh, I think at this point, they would just go away. Bye-bye. There'll be no more Indy. There would be no more
Atlanta.
So
here's the question.
No, nothing.
We've laid out the March Madness expansion news. We've laid out the college football expansion news. Here's my question to you. There's two of them. 248-539-9797. One, which of these two disgusting proposals are you more tolerant of, more accepting of? But then there's part two. It's a one-word answer. College sports are blank. I want you to fill that in for me. College sports. Don't give me women's crew or men's tennis. We're talking college hoops, college football. College sports are blank. I'll fill in the word for you, just not this second. 248-539-9797. 3 o'clock.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. But there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Good to have you aboard. Odyssey.com Rewind. You missed anything, including the way you watch NFL football could be changing in a big, big way. We'll get to that again, I'm sure, multiple times as that saga plays out. But we wanted to start out with something hypothetical. And I think it's appropriate today because one of the sports doesn't have a salary cap. And your team showed a willingness to put some cheddar on the table. And while the other league has a salary cap, well, it's been announced today that the salary cap in the NFL will go up from 255 to at minimum 277 to as much as 281. So again, round numbers, tiny brain, let's just say a $20 million increase. What I want to ask you is this. You get to choose one, but all parameters are in place, meaning the cost of acquisition has to matter. Also, the duration of how long you'll have the player, the age of the players. I am asking you, it's simple but complex at the same time. That's what makes it a great conversation and a really good radio topic. I want to know if David could pray on this right now and could deliver either Vlad Guerrero Jr. to the Tigers at the trade deadline
He doesn't get a deal done with the Blue Jays. Somehow he loves Coney dogs, and he'd be willing to play in Detroit, and you'd have to pay him the better part of $400 million. Or David preys on it, and it's Myles Garrett. Now, one guy's 25. One guy's 29. One guy plays in a sport where your career lasts a lot longer. Vladdy was a 6.5 WAR player last year. That's about $65 million in value. He's one of the best right-handed hitters in the game. He hits for average. He hits for power. He hits for fun.
Mm-hmm.
Myles Garrett is Megatron. Myles Garrett is a built-in-a-lab defensive end, plays all three downs. Think Reggie White. Think prime Michael Strahan. Think J.J. Watt. You both your teams are playoff teams. Tigers desperate for a right-handed bat. Lions desperate for D-line. You get to pick one. Now, what it's going to cost? Picks for Garrett? You probably get 2 to 3 years of prime Garrett before you got a problem. Is that fair?
Yeah.
Vladdy, you're probably getting 7 or 8 years. What would Vlad cost you? Well, first of all, if you're trading for him at the deadline, there would have to be assurances of a contract. We cannot be in the business of giving up what it's going to take.
For a rental.
Yes. Now, I'll tell you this. There's no way Jackson Jobe is in this deal because he'll be in your rotation. But if it was Max Clark and
McGonagall.
Yeah, like if it was Clark, McGonagall plus, would you do it to get Miggy Cabrera 15 years later, 18 years later? That's really what you're doing here. And there was a time it was unthinkable to give up Andrew Miller and Cameron Maybin. Hold, please. So you get one. I try. I do. I want to go around the room, but I want, guys, the most important opinion is yours. Both of these teams are good enough where they can make a big move. One league has no cap. The other one is going through the roof. You can only have so many prospects. You can only have so many picks. Mm-hmm. The need is the need. Pick one, Vladdy or Garrett?
Oh, that's a great question. I'm going to go Myles Garrett. I'm going to go Myles Garrett because the Lions are ready right now. When you talk about the top four teams or top five teams that can win a Super Bowl next year, the Lions are in that discussion. You can't say the same about the Tigers because the Tigers, I would say Dodgers, I would say Yankees, I would say Mets, I would say Red Sox. I'm not saying Detroit. So even if you added Vlad, it's not going to put you over the top. If you add Myles Garrett to this team already and they're constructed for the next 2-3 years, probably how long you're going to get the best out of him, I think that's the best deal. Yes, you would have Vlad a lot longer, but in the 2-3 years, if you got Myles Garrett, you may actually get a championship. You may actually get a Super Bowl. And I would trade whatever picks you wanted.
Yeah, I'm with you there. I don't think there's a wrong answer. That's why this is fun.
And the other reason, real quick, and I know he's going to get better, but I don't know if Aiden's going to hit 100%. I don't know if he's going to be the Aiden Hutchinson that we saw before.
What do you mean he was going to play in the Super Bowl?
Yeah. For everybody who believed that, did you see him running?
Man, okay? He looked like David going to the bathroom.
Like, he's going to get better, but I don't know if he's going to get back to 100% ever. So Myles Garrett is kind of the insurance policy in case it's not that way, in case he has reoccurring injuries to the leg,
yep.
In case there's some type of a setback. I got Myles Garrett. I'm good.
So let me make the case for Vlad. Not that I disagree with Rico, because I don't, candidly. I mean, I think Garrett puts you in the Super Bowl conversation. But for fun, the Vlad thing would be interesting because, A, you're acquiring a superstar, something this franchise does not have. B, you're getting a decade out of this guy, right? You're not signing Anthony Rendon at age 31 and the guy dies. Like, you're getting someone you can build a team around. And with the pitching the Tigers have, continue to have, they've got the witchcraft of Chris Fetter. Rico, there's also this idea of I'm not a huge prospect believer. is that I understand I need them, but I like to weaponize them more than anything else. I like to use prospects to go get players. Now, it can blow up in your face. We know this. But I just think the acquisition cost is so much lower when you factor in, I'm getting a Hall of Famer. I'm giving you a mystery box. The Tigers are in desperate need of players they can hang their hat on. Please do not hold me to this. If you're just, it's like asking me, what do you feel like for dinner tonight? I reserve the right to change by 6. I feel like we're losing Skubal. I'm not sure now that this has gone through this offseason and we're headed in season now.
Because of lack of extension?
Yeah, that if you didn't get it done now, is Boris going to now, okay, you had your shot. They made a, quote, non-competitive offer. I've given you the history of how Boris is willing to get rid of 2 years. It's got to be a big deal. What if the Tigers don't believe in paying a pitcher? Because, again, if Skubal blows out, he's missing the better part of 2 years. If I know, all right, Skubal is a 50-50 at best. Fair? Who else do I have to put on the season tickets? See, I'm in the interesting business.
Right. I mean, I guess.
Don't say it.
Okay.
You want to say Riley Green?
I was going to say Riley Green.
And I like Riley Green. Lovely young man. But give me a break. I mean, Riley Green could deliver a pizza to someone. They wouldn't know it's Riley Green.
It's awful tall pizza, man.
It's very, okay. But I think the Vlad thing would be incredibly interesting because the Tigers at one point were the hottest thing in town. They owned summer. But they did it with stars. And you know I don't like building a ball club like this. I'm not interested in this. Vlad would be must-see TV on a nightly basis. The guy that can go out, hit 310, hit 35 homers, have 100 RBIs, have 1,000 OPS. He plays with some swag, some flair. You're not wrong with the Miles Garrett thing, but Vlad thing would be incredible.
No, it would. It would
reignite this town, I think.
It would, and if I had assurances that not only would the Tigers make that move, but they would go out, they would re-sign Skubal, and they would bring in more pieces, then maybe I would lean that way because now that's a long term where you're winning, where you're going to be competing with the top teams, with the halves. Right now, the Lions are a half.
Yep.
The Tigers are not a half. They were in the playoffs, but they kind of, you know, they were kind of like that lucky fan that got brought out on the court and hit the three-pointer.
Oh, the kid who earned free books for the semester?
Yeah, that's what they are.
That's fair. 248-539-9797. We'll hear from David. We'll get to you, the caller, as well. And yes, I can't believe I've agreed to do this today at 345. Mock Draft Madness.
Oh. 1.0.
Oh, God, take me now. 3 o'clock. Good to have you with us. Odyssey.com Rewind. You missed anything? We've still got people who want to rap about the Four Nations face-off, which we will, because it's must-see TV tonight. But I want to mix this in and work with me on something. And I have a feeling David's going to play the Debbie Downer thing. But I can defend this case. So we've joked here the last couple of weeks. This Matthew Stafford to New York thing, I have no idea where it's from, but NFL reporters are starting to lean into it. So I decided, all right, let me see the betting odds on this. Like, what does FanDuel or DraftKings or what do the books have to say? And to my surprise, the Giants were the second choice on the list. And the first choice piqued my interest. And I immediately thought of the topic I'm going to present to you. The first choice on the list at plus 300 is the Minnesota Vikings. Now, what the trade would look like is unimportant. Whether it's J.J. McCarthy picks, it's not the point of our topic. The topic would be this. We've talked about the NFC North being the best division in football already. So what happens if Matthew Stafford replaces the soulless ginger pumpkin? Because I could make a case to you that with Stafford's arrival, Jared Goff would be the worst quarterback in the division. Now, when I say that, don't get a visceral response because what I'm about to say next, think about it. You could be the worst QB in the division if all the QBs are in the top 10. Now, why would I say that? Well, Love was not good this year. Health. Go look at what he did the back half of 23 and damn near beat the Niners. When he's healthy, he's got top five upside. Caleb Williams is getting Ben Johnson.
Jared Goff is losing Ben Johnson. And Matthew Stafford is better than Jared Goff. Period. You could in a heartbeat go from chanting this man's name at a grocery store to him being the fourth best QB in the best quarterback division in all of football. Now, if you want to say, hey, Jalen Hurts, Jaden Daniels, I'll say Dak Prescott and Tommy Porkchops. If you want to say, oh, well, what about the West? What about it? Homeless Geno Smith, whoever the Rams trot out, combine driver Purdy. Like, we can play this game. Baker Mayfield, Michael Penix, a Mardi Gras parade float, and Bryce Young. No, guys, this division is going to be the best QB division in football already. But if Stafford comes here, what is your reaction to that as a Lions fan? Because this is a part of my concern for the team. Now, I'm not going where Rieger's going. I know Rieger's doing this whole miss the playoffs thing, but he's more right than he is wrong. Not totally right, more right than wrong. Is that people want to dismiss Ben Johnson leaving. That flies in the face of everything you guys fought so hard to tell us the previous couple of years about how he won't leave us, his kids love the schools. If he's good at his job, which he is, you must accept that, he is going to make Caleb Williams better. And if you dig into the numbers with Caleb, he did not have a bad rookie year. And there could be a major jump for him. And if I take the guy who saved Jared Goff's career and he's in Chicago now, what if Goff regresses by 10%? 15%. What if he's just not quite the same? Now, while everyone's yelling, let Brad cook and we don't need Myles Garrett, you might have the worst of a great group of quarterbacks. But who's drafting Jared Goff over Caleb Williams if they're starting a team? No one. Who's drafting Jared Goff over Jordan Love if they're starting a team? Not many. Who's drafting Goff over Stafford? I don't think anybody. Do I still like Jared Goff? Of course I do. But if you're in the best quarterback division in football, and now all of a sudden like this, Jared Goff has the best season of his life, and he ain't going to live back up to that. Other guys are getting better, and Matthew Stafford lands with weapon. I mean, come on. Sam Darnold was able to win 14 games.
No, I'm laughing because you're correct. Like last year, Goff was the best quarterback in the division. If you came in, it's like, oh, yes, he's better than rookie Caleb. I think Love was probably the only one, but nobody thought Darnold was going to do what he was going to do. But you're right. You put him with all of those weapons.
Pretty scary.
Yeah, because you look at what he did out with the weapons he had with the Rams. Yeah, he's going to put up some offensive numbers. And I think the selling point for me, the tipping of the scale is Ben Johnson leaving. Because yes, even though I thought that Caleb Williams was, he was just oversold to me. But when I actually go back and I look at the numbers, it's like, he didn't have a bad year.
No.
He was on a bad team. No O-line really. He needed a lot of weapons.
Fired coach.
And a coach was an idiot who just basically froze up on Thanksgiving Day. And it's like, I don't know what to do. You give him Ben Johnson, and that could be the tipping point. Because, yeah, Love, I like what he did at the end of that year. Even when he played Philly out in Brazil before he got hurt, he was really competitive. And then it took him some time. I think he came back way too soon. And you saw that. He was out there on one leg. But Green Bay had to. And you know, this isn't the NBA. He's going to play. But when you really look at it like that, yeah, because I'm like, nah, he's, you know, Goff's going to be better than Caleb, but no, nah, it's going to be Caleb and Ben Johnson.
And again, just to highlight the year Rico's talking about here, and I think it's important you look at this. You're talking about Jordan Love in 2023, right, when he was healthy, age 25 season, 32 touchdowns, 11 picks, 65% completion rate and damn near 4,200 yards as a 25-year-old in his first year starting in the National Football League. He was hurt all year this year, from day one with the knee to midseason with the groin. I'm just making a point to you. Stafford coming to this division would be a distinct problem. I would be terrified of having him back here because, candidly, the trade worked for both teams, but if I have to say who won the trade, it would be the Rams. I know you agree with me. Mm-hmm. They won the Super Bowl. You have not. It worked for both. But if Stafford came here, he could end up costing you double time.
Because if Matthew Stafford is on the Minnesota Vikings, I can't say with a straight face, oh yeah, you're better than the Vikings. Was I hallucinating when in the last game of this season it was a winner-take-all?
Nope.
Would Stafford elevate the Vikings or not?
Yeah.
Okay.
So he's not redheaded.
All right. Then we factor in the Bears are going to be better. I think you factor in the Pack are going to be better.
See, I think you got to factor in the Pack are going to be better.
Fine. The point is, what is your reaction to this? Because, look, it's all hee-hees and ha-has. And it is fun for radio if Stafford became a Giant. It'd be hilarious. Be great for this show, for sure. He'd probably show up and break his spine or something ridiculous. But if Stafford comes to Minnesota, and for whatever reason, they're the betting favorite, does Sean McVay like JJ? Is that what that is? I don't know. But bottom line,
I think
I'd be terrified.
The reason why I think Minnesota is because you could probably work out some type of a trade and you can ship JJ there and McVay. He's young. That team will be under the cap and they could really kind of jumpstart the Rams. You got a defense that's already good, so you don't need JJ to be great. So, yes, that's probably why I think the Vikings are the betting favorite because they would ship JJ to LA.
Also, just want to point this out. The last 5 weeks of this season, when Love started to get a little bit healthy, 15 touchdowns in the last 5 weeks. I'm just, you can sleep on him. You can hate him because he's a Packer. You can hate him because he's got a weird-looking face. He's got that pouty look. You could hate him because he throws the ball off his back foot. You can do whatever you like. The point is, Stafford coming here. What's your reaction to it if it happens? If he goes to Minnesota, I'll tell you right now, that would put me in the Rieger territory.
He goes to Minnesota, I mean, yeah. No, I mean, because now I'm thinking you probably.
And notice these people ain't calling.
You're not winning the division. He goes to Minnesota, you ain't winning the division.
They know. They're scared. That's what this is right here. This is the sound of fear.
Because Sam Darnold took them about as close as you can get.
Look at what you played this year to go 15-2. I don't care. I'll say the quiet part out loud. You played a rookie quarterback who had no guidance and a fired coach. You played an injured Jordan Love, and you played a soulless pumpkin. Now flip that into next year's edition. Healthy Love, Caleb with the wizard Ben Johnson, and Matthew freaking Stafford. This is the sound of trembling. So let's talk about it. And if you disagree, you can have whatever reasons you want. But why are the Vikings the favorite? Where did that come from? My point to you is you want him on the Giants. You do not want him in this division. In a year, you lost 7 coaches.
in a year where your offensive coordinator is now in Chicago.
How many Canadian fans are unclothed right now? All night, they were unclothed.
Are you okay?
I'm great. I'm wonderful.
I know how big that game was for you last night.
Sucked.
I wanted to check on you, but then again, I decided to leave you alone.
Yeah, I didn't get a call from you. I could have used a little comfort. I'm just saying. Hi, everybody. Mike gone. I'm Jeff. Rico, David, Jeremy's right there. And Rico, did it live up to the hype? I mean, you're not a huge hockey guy. I know you got caught up into it. I know all of Detroit was watching yesterday. I know all of America was watching yesterday. And at the end of the day, this is why you don't pick the captain of the Toronto Maple Leafs to be your captain. I think that's the
and
one
that's
lesson.
That's all you took away from this.
Doug and Scott were asking the question, what'd you learn from yesterday? I learned never trust a Maple Leaf. Austin Matthews, where the hell were you? Where were you?
Yeah. That's just funny. That's you. But that's so on brand for you. He hasn't been that great for the Maple Leafs.
Yeah, he's 0-for-7 in elimination games.
Connor McDavid open. Yeah.
I'm just saying, the end of it sucked, and it always happens like that in hockey because Matthews and other Americans had chance after chance after chance on Bennington.
I was right, exactly. I'm like, okay, here's the thing. You see how many shots they're taking, the Americans? This means the Canadians will win.
I agree with you.
Because all of a sudden they're going to break away, and bang, you're sitting there like, but we took so many shots on goal. But you didn't make any of them. See, this game went exactly how I thought it was going to be. Now, these guys said I was the deflator and all of that.
No, you called them no fights. There was no fights. There was no penalties.
And
with the exception of the one, and they gave a power play to Canada.
In hindsight, Rigger, I think we all should have saw this because I think at this point, Bettman, well, hey, guys, the world is watching, okay? You had your fun on Saturday when it was kind of a fringe sport, but right now, tonight, everybody's watching. There'll be no fighting. Hey, refs, unless somebody dies on the ice, there are no penalties. There was a couple times I was like, oh, that's a penalty. Wow.
Especially in overtime. That would have actually benefited Team USA. Canada, shocking, I know, didn't get a single penalty called on them all game. The Americans got one called, and they were able to kill off a Canadian power play. But I disagree a little bit about the fighting. I think Bettman and the NHL would have loved more fights.
No.
Because everybody talks about the fights, and you can't fight in international hockey, so you can fight in NHL hockey.
No, but see, because they're showing off the... It's like the Super Bowl, Rieger. These are people who may never watch this sport, and this is the first time they're watching it. So you got to make sure you almost put it in the purest form.
Yeah, but nobody's turned off by the fighting. I would argue the opposite. People love the fighting.
No, but then they would expect fighting in every game. So if you're new to
like
the sport.
Like a regular season Wild Wings game tomorrow,
right,
you mean?
Right. Like, okay, well, you go to the game. Where's the fights? Well, they don't really fight like that. So, yeah. It's what made Saturday such a distinguished game because everybody saw this and was just like, wow, 2 seconds in, fight. Another 2 seconds right. in, another fight.
Loved it.
5 more seconds later, another fight.
You know what I love the most about Saturday's game? That the Americans won. Here's the deal. We're curious. Did you get wrapped up into it? And did yesterday live up to the hype? Because I know a lot of people on your show. I heard people call your show my show. People are like, dude, I wasn't going to watch. I didn't care. And then it's because they heard people talking about how good it could be and how good it's been that people got wrapped up into it. So when you're watching yesterday and Rico and I are talking about overtime and you did get that eerily awful feeling that Team Canada is going to pull it out. I was enraged, absolutely enraged when Connor McDavid scored the goal. I was even more enraged when I watched the play again and I saw that Matthews left them wide open. But more than anything, I was amazed with how angry I was. I wonder if the people watching yesterday, were you wrapped up so much that you were pissed after the loss? Or is it just something like, okay, it was fun while it lasted. We get the regular season starting tomorrow. I go back to my regularly scheduled life. I wonder how many people were actually pissed that Team USA lost. And I would say the game definitely lived up to the hype. Despite, I thought the Boston fans were a little, what's the word? Soft. Like, where? They stood in overtime, I know there were a lot of Canadians there.
And I was about to say, Rieger,
I wanted more rowdiness from that fan base.
That crowd was probably, it looked like about a 60-40 split. There were a lot of Canadian fans there.
60-40 U.S.?
U.S.
Okay.
But right, about 40% Canadian fans, like, at the end, when they all stuck around and you saw all the red, it was like, man, there were a lot of Canadian fans here. So, yeah. I think, to me, it did exactly what I thought. It was fun to watch. It was exciting. It felt like a game 7 where each goal was like, okay, this you were on the edge of your seat. Okay, U.S. goes up 2-1. Oh, damn it. Now it's tie. And in the third period.
Back and forth.
Back and forth until you finally get to like 10 seconds left and you're like, okay, this is going to overtime. Great.
Well, the overtime reminded me of, I know it's a foreign concept, from when the Red Wings were actually in the playoffs. Like, watching so many Red Wing playoff games back in the day. Remember the ones you had to stay up late for when they went to Anaheim or they went to San Jose or they went to Edmonton? And it goes to overtime. And the game goes to like 2 in the morning. And you go to work the next day and you're bleary-eyed and you're exhausted. Watching yesterday in overtime, I cared so much, made me hearken back to when the Wings were in the playoffs. And I hope they get to the playoffs this year. But I'm curious what people took out of it. Here's the other thing. I was obnoxious towards Canada. I was a jerk towards Canada. I called them arrogant many times over the course of the last 4 days. I went on a Canadian radio station yesterday. I called them arrogant to their face. And you know what? I don't regret any of it.
Not at all.
You know what? I wanted them to lose so bad because it would have been a 4-alarm fire in Canada right now. They would all be freaking out right now. The radios everywhere would be bitching about got to make a line change. The cost of ice time is too high. The average kid in Canada and Saskatoon can't play hockey. Rico, we were so close to catching them. And then they win. And then those damn Canadians always say the same thing. Well, you Americans know when the game means something, we're going to kick your ass. And so far, they've been right about everything.
I was just funny. I was just wondering if Marshawn would have ended that game, what would the reaction would have been in overtime?
Like, now, yeah, considering he was a Bruin is a Bruin.
Right, like what would, like, yeah. Oh, no, you just won the game for us. So, no, that was the only one that I was curious to see what would the reaction be had he actually scored that goal. But I think that for most people, you're probably just going to be like, okay, it was a fun run.
It's over.
And you just move on.
It was
an event. It's like a fight night. It's like you get hyped for a fight, and then when the fight is over, you don't care about it anymore. You just move on. Now, Canada needed it because at that point, it's their sport. It's like I said yesterday, their sport. You never want to get embarrassed with your sport, which is apparently your all-star, and you couldn't beat the U.S. If they would have lost to somebody else, I think it would have been okay, but it's the fact that we're the annoying neighbor to them. And it's just like,
it would have killed them. It would have killed them.
This SOB. Okay.
It would have killed them. Like, they don't want to admit it. The Americans won the juniors. The American are catching them. The Americans, like other countries, are developing players just as good as Canada. We had a dude call in yesterday when I was on, and he got upset because I called Canadian hockey arrogant. And he's like, I'm a coach, and we're stealing things from the Americans on how to coach our kids. So we're coming, Canada. Not to mention Crosby's 37. Marchand might have played his last Canadian hockey game. We're coming for you. It just would have been so sweet to pop you last night. And unfortunately, it didn't happen. So where are you? 248-539-9797. It's now over. We go back to our regularly scheduled life. Did you wake up a little angry? Did the game affect you to the point that, like, it felt like a loss like you normally feel with Detroit losses? Or did you just get over it rather easily? And did the game live up to the hype? It went to overtime. And by the way, I think we realized that this thing wasn't going 7 overtimes. It's almost like both teams got the message. Go out and try to score now, because there were so many great chances in the extra session. So 248-539-9797, the ticket text, the exact same number. We'll get to the calls. 3 o'clock, Rico has a theory on Michigan State and Michigan that I'm not quite sure I agree with. We'll get into that. Big game tonight.
You will.
97 won the ticket.